The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, March 9th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. The numbers to call today are 323-6232, 325-416, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the Family Island, the number there is 242-300-5720. And of course, if you want to engage me, us at Guardian Radio AM, you can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Today we're going to have an open line Monday. It's over the weekend. There's some news happening. We're going to have an open line Monday. That means what you saw trending in the news, trending on social media, you can call in. I'd be happy to entertain you to discuss one or two things, right? What is trending, I see everybody is talking about, in which I will not belabor, because I was coming here just now, I was listening to Erin Green's show, On the Clock with Erin Green, and she went into thorough detail about the incident about the pot cake, who the public has now nicknamed Brownie. Earlier, as I was traversing, I listened to Dwight, had a conversation also about it. So I don't want to belabor the conversation. That happened already. It was trashed out. But I won't stop you from calling in to give your commentary on it. General commentary, we know that we have a stray dog problem in the Bahamas. Till the point it becomes cultural. It's a part of who we are. We define ourselves as having stray dogs. They call it pot cake, right? The tourists come and feed the stray animals. We have a dog containment problem. In fact, we have laws now. We know there are laws. The police force, the animal rights people, the Ministry of Agriculture comes on every so often and remind us that it's an offense not to contain. Restrain your dogs, so have them run wild, up and about. But again, it's cultural. Every corner. You go picky, especially to Tropical Garden, with all those upper middle class people, it's amusing to see that the huge, what I call stray dog problem, where the upper class people there feed the dog. They come out and say, man, no, even though this is not my dog, and make sure they have the best of dog foods there. They understand. They say, these stray dogs, even though they're stray, they deserve some dignity, right? If you go over PI, you go over to even Bahama, I haven't seen any stray dogs at the point, but if you go downtown, there's stray dogs there. So it's now part of our tourism product indirectly. It's a part of who we are. Everybody know we have a stray dog. It's nothing to be surprised about. It's nothing to stand up on a soapbox and say, it is what it is until someone plans to enforce it, right? If I were to talk about this, I was going to say, I acknowledge that the owners for the dog is responsible for the dog. They have a duty of care. There should be a fine rendered. I would have concentrated on whether the prison officer went too far in terms of being a peace officer. And then I would have made aware, was he on duty? Is he on duty only at the prison? Or when he was walking in the public with his sidearm, was he still on duty, right? Or his duty as a peace officer only is at the prison? I would have maybe talk about why two of the prison officers draw their sidearm before they even reached the dog, like they had an intent, like they saw the dogs in the distance and say, you know what? If these dogs come near me, right? Like, I was wondering, like, you're watching the video, you say, but why do they have the guns drawn? And then you see the dogs. I say, oh, yeah, I guess they're concerned with the dogs. And you see the video and see the dogs were barking. There was not necessarily any intimidation happening. You said, okay, Portgate's doing what Portgates do, right? And you see the prison dogs, the canine unit, not even paying attention. I guess they were communicating. They understand what the dog's saying. The dogs might have been saying hello, and they strutting, right? There was no threat. So one of the dogs came closer. I didn't even see if he was barking. The ones in the back were barking. And then one of the prison officers who had their guns drawn, because there's other prison officers who walked past, and the dogs were just watching for a while, decided to end the dog's life and then walk off. And I got more shock over that. So, okay, you just, for whatever reason, because you know you could be fair. Fair, of course, you do all kinds of things. I would have assumed that he would have gone inside the yard and said, ma'am, sir, your dog charged at me and I had shot it dead. It's there. I would assume that he would have called whatever animal right people who's pick up dead dogs on the side of the road. I assume that he would have called them to say, hey, I discharged my weapon. It comes with certain protocols and policies. I'm letting you know what I did. The dog there on the side of the road, dead. Someone needs to come pick that up. Can't be staying there. But way into the night, the dog body was just there. Right? Way into the night, no one spoke to the owners of the dog. The disregard concerned me, right? There's a number of concerns that we render, and people say, no. It's just a one-off case when citizens say, man, people are strong-handed, heavy-handed, right? And we said, no, man, this don't really happen. But it seems as if it's a culture, a disregard culture. It's unfortunate. But like I said, I don't want to belabor that. But if you want to talk about that or something else, feel free. I sent something to Kermit just now, but for some reason that board refused to play my stuff. So unfortunately, what I'm going to do is have plan B. I'm going to play it from my phone. I don't like playing from my phone because Dwight already informed me, so you also send it to the board. But the board ain't working. So I'm doing my best. This is a video I came across. It's a recent video, Grand Bahama video. It's by Fred Smith Casey. We all know who's Fred Smith Casey. He's giving commentary, right? I just happened to be privileged to get access to it. And I say, this needs to be played to a wider audience. We can talk about Grand Bahama and the Port Authority because in the headline, The Guardian said, Grand Bahama Port Authority said, we are not liable to government. We may discuss that a little bit. But let me play this. I'm going to do my best. Put it close to the mic so you can hear this. I'm pressing play right now.
Sound a note of warning. It's a disgrace that after 10 years or more that Hurricanes Jean and Francis hit us, that the Grand Bahama Airport Company should be operating a domestic facility in an old broken down hangar for the people of Freeport. I cannot understand how the government allows the Port Authority, the Airport Company, the Harbor Company, the Container Port Company, and DEVCO to suck Freeport of all of their of dividends every year and pay the license the shareholders millions of dollars a year in dividends, while we Bahamians, we residents, have to continue to eke out an existence in an old broken up hangar they used after Hurricanes Jean and Francis. It's a disgrace. I call on the airport company, Freeport Harbor, and DEVCO, all of whom have responsibilities under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, to live up to their development obligations in Freeport. If they want an extension of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement and not to pay taxes, they need to come up. They need to put their money where their mouth is, just like Western Air, and they need to come and build a proper domestic facility for the people of Freeport. We are entitled to be treated properly by the Port Authority group of companies. And if a private licensee can do what they've done here at Western Air, then it's about time the government holds their toes to the fire. I'm sick and tired of these foreign companies raping Freeport and the people of Freeport. Now, the Port Authority, DEVCO, Harbor Company, GB Airport Company suck millions of dollars in dividends from us. And they operate this like some backcountry domestic airline facility. We are the second city, the magic city, the industrial capital of the Bahamas. And it's a disgrace for us to have to come into that domestic airline facility. Even the toilets in Western Air are nicer than the ones in the hangar over there. Thank you all.
But I'd like to And again, that's Fred morning. Smith. That's Fred Smith there, who is giving commentary on what is happening in Grand Bahama, especially with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. It's unfortunate. But Fred Smith is lobbying for the government to do something. And I know there are a number of people choosing sides, picking sides on whose side we or they are on and lobbying us, the public, on whose side we should be on. But at this present time, we need to be on the government side, right? We may disagree on how the government pursue things, but what is happening to Grand Bahama? What is happening to Freeport? The lack of investment, the lack of development, the slowdown or the retarding of that area needs to be addressed, right? So I see the prime minister is going on some kind of tour, public tour, to explain the government's position. I want to extend kudos to him. I didn't expect that, right? I guess his advisors saw the need to explain the government's position. And he's going to go in detail about that. And then hopefully Bahamians will be able to understand exactly what the government intends to do. Usually the government is secretive, but I'm glad to hear that. I see if I have a caller on the line before I start reading part of this newspaper. Let's go to the caller there on Open Line Monday. Good morning, caller. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, you're live.
Hey. Blessed morning. Happy Monday morning, CA.
Happy Monday.
I agree with Mr. Smith. And, but CA, the same thing that the Grand Bahama Port Authority is doing is the same thing that these foreign banks are doing to us. You know, I was given a check that was drawn on a particular bank in the Bahamas, the government, where the government has its overdraft. And I was told that by that bank that I cannot cash that check because I don't have an account there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, the individual said, why do I need an account? And they said, oh, because that's our policy. I said, you cannot have a policy over what is not yours. These funds are being, this is a service that you are providing to this client, and they have instructed you via this check, which is an unconditional order, for you to release the said amount to me.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have jurisdiction and make a fee on that which does not belong to you. That is a liability on your book.
Mm-hmm.
He calls the manager, and the manager says, look, let me see if we have any record of you. I said, and no. We don't have no record, so every year these people repatriate millions of dollars on the backs of the Bahamians out of our country, and they are overstepping their authority, and our government is doing nothing. You know, in Barbados, they tried that same foolishness, and that woman man, Mia Murthy, said, hell to the no, this is as far as you go. Their central bank came in and said, listen here, the people are complaining. They are getting nothing on their monies, and you're putting all of these fees that they might as well keep their monies at home. We have a central bank, okay, a governor. The word governor comes from the word one who governs. What is Mr. Rowe governing? Who is he governing? What is he governing? All he ran looking around for sand dollar. That's all he's doing. Listen. I am tired. And I told that woman in no uncertain terms that, listen.
You there, caller? Caller loses minutes. I was enjoying your commentary, caller. I understand your frustration. I know how it is for trying to cash a check. And they said, I got to open up an account to get access to the money. Or I got to take it to my home bank and deposit it in there and wait the 3, 4, 5 days before it clear. I couldn't get access. So it is frustrating. It is frustrating. I see I have a number of callers still on. I can allow these callers to say they say. Let me read this text first, though. We as a people must be responsible with our dogs. We must keep our dogs in our property and tied. The The dog ain't supposed to be tied 24/7, Dexter. Just let me know that. That's a cruel and inhumane thing if you have your dog tied throughout the day. You need to have a fenced-in yard, let the dog roam. Our government systems only react when dogs hurt people. It's usually be a particular type of dog that hurts people also, Dexter. Just want to get that clear. They are not enforcing the dog laws. They too lazy. People believe they have the right to have their dogs on the street. And I mentioned that it has seems as if it has become cultural, right? What's happening in the country. And it is a concern, right? Let's go to the call line. I have a number of people texted and said, why Fred Smith speaking? Fred Smith is a foreigner. I'm not sure what they mean by that. It's very unfortunate because Mr. Smith is one of our leading attorneys, but people are texting saying that he shouldn't give commentary explaining what should be happening. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Morning.
Good morning to you.
Two things I'm going to touch on. First and foremost, I want to touch on this bank situation that the previous caller talked about, but let's refer to this dog matter that took place. When I adopted my pet from the Bahamas Humane Society, they came to my property and they did an assessment to ensure that my yard was fully enclosed where I intended to keep my pet, and made sure that the provisions that I was giving the dog was adequate for him to survive in my yard. I mean, you know, I understood the advocates about this dog being shot and everything. They weren't placed into that situation that these persons are not saying that what the officer did was the right thing. But when it comes down to your dog being loose, you know, that poses a problem not only for that particular time, but for every other time that persons walk past that yard. You don't know what potentially your dog will do. So if that was a child that walked past and that child was bitten.
Jeff, so what should happen to the owners?
The owner should have ensured
No. Listen to the question. What should happen to the owners?
The owner should be held responsible.
And held responsible means what exactly?
Be held responsible for having the dog running loose.
And that's a fine.
And that should be a fine.
Yes.
So I understand the outcry and all this stuff, and I understand that. But we as a people, we also have a responsibility to follow the laws and the rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, my dog does not roam freely. When my dog comes out of his yard, out of this yard, he's on it. I walk him. And then I put him back in the yard. But I do not let him run freely in my neighborhood. That does not happen.
Who should be responsible for the dogs on Bay Street?
The government should be responsible to find the owners of those persons and find them.
And if there's no owners and the government is not enforcing that law?
Then the government has the right to, when I say the government, I call Humane Society, and whatever is in place to ensure that dog is either kept there or destroyed, it is up to them to do so. But you see, this is a very touchy situation. I understand what's going on. So, you know, we just wanted to opine. But I can guarantee you, if a child was walking past and that child had gotten bitten, this would have been a totally different scenario what we're hearing right now. Okay.
And if that had happened, we would have had a different type of conversation. But it didn't.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Let me move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
Pertaining to the banks, I talked about the same situation no longer than December, January, earlier this year. It is totally ridiculous that a check that is issued by a person who has an account at a bank issues me a check for payment for services. And I'm going to that bank that the person who issued the check to me has money on their account. Why do I have to open a bank account if I have government-issued IDs to indicate I am the person who this check is written to, release the funds to this person? Why should I have to open an account to your bank? And secondly, why should I go to my bank to deposit that check to my account to wait 3-4 days for it to clear for me to get the money? It is ridiculous. So the previous call is absolutely correct. What is the Central Bank of the Bahamas doing? Why are we allowing these things to occur in this country? Is this a normal practice in the banking host countries for them to do this to their citizens, or is it just something here in the Bahamas? We need clear, definitive answers. Why are we being held hostage by many of these banks with these fees and stuff, which many of them still needs to be explained to us, and we're sitting quiet and just accepting the nonsense. This is foolishness. We are in a first world country with third world leaders. We need to fix these simple problems and bring peace, prosperity, and equilibrium to the Bahamian people so we can live and thrive in this country. That's as simple as I can put it. But thanks for taking my call, CA. I'll continue to listen.
Yes. I have a caller, Jeff, who is vexed at what you said regarding the dogs should be destroyed. He said that you hurt his feelings. He lost respect for that commentary about you. I mean, he said it was harsh, Jeff. Just letting you know what the texter is saying. Let's go to the next phone line there, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Got in
your ear. Yes, sir. Good. Thanks a lot. You know, the Bahamas, right? The dealing port in Freeport, right? The Bahamas port, the Freeport Port Authority. That's like a public-private partnership. That's a public-private partnership in the world, everything. You understand what I'm saying? Or one of the first ones of that magnitude. You know, and you know, seems like we in the Bahamas, right? We. Our governments, right? All they've been doing was just they're like the Freeport part, the that deal on steroids with everything. We're privatizing everything. You understand me? And you know, and like without studies, there's been no studies on privatization of utilities versus national, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I'm saying, public ownership, you know? We think like we, in this tourist industry, right? People like to invoke the Dubai on us, right? But Dubai, they own their own hotels, you know? Why don't we own our hotels? You know, the commanding heights of our economy, and we don't own it. You understand what I'm saying? So people are politicians saying that we got to do what the United States to say or else. What about Martin Luther King? He sacrificed. You understand what I'm saying? He speak the truth to power. You see what I'm saying? So until we be like Martin Luther King, we don't got to be like Malcolm X. We could be civilly disobedient. You understand what I'm saying? We as Christians, you know what I'm saying? We call ourselves a Christian nation.
Okay.
You see, we all the talking points of the U.S. They accuse Iran as being a theocracy, and they themselves is a theocracy.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Thank you anyway.
Well, thank you very much, man. Let me quickly read this headline here. It says the Grand Bahama Port Authority, we're not liable to the government, insists ruling does not alter status quo in Freeport. The government's $350 million claim against the Grand Bahama Port Authority, GBPA, has been decided, but the battle over control of the national narrative in the wake of an arbitration tribunal's decision continues. The Grand Bahama Port Authority on the weekend sought to convince its licensees that the ruling did not establish liability on its part, contrary to the Prime Minister Philip Davis's declaration in Parliament last week that the liability has been established and what remains is the assessment of that liability. The government has claimed a historic win, but the Grand Bahama Port Authority told its licensees in a letter, the ruling does not fundamentally alter the, it's on A13, let me finish that last sentence, so, and we can go to the phone lines after that. A13. Status quo in Freeport. The tribunal reaffirmed that Grand Bahama Port Authority's position under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement and the framework governing the port area remains substantially intact. Let's go to the phone line there. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Let's go to the next caller there, Kermit, there. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Call you there. Let's move on to the next one. And all the boards are clear right there. Let's read these texts right here. It says, many of our banks are Marina, it's very difficult to do business with them. Okay, I agree with Mr. Smith. We have allowed over decades many companies to come in the Bahamas and only give token donation to our society. They must be made to live up to their responsibilities in Freeport. Good morning. I was going to ask, if the government is not enforcing the laws, why do we keep voting them in? I realize now that a lot of the voting public are the lawbreakers and have no regard for the laws in place. This text says, is the guy who just called talking about civil disobedience ready to lead the charge? You should have asked him if he was willing to put himself in the front line or the forefront and ask people to follow him. Let's go to the phone lines there. Guiding Radio AM, you live?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man.
Great, great. Just one or two things I really want to touch base on. Fundamentally, I learned this a long time ago in university. One of the things that a country should never do, should never allow any outside entity to control the majority of its utilities, anything of that nature, because it puts that country in a very, very compromising position. And it is a totally advised against to have a country where you have secondary entities that have the majority shares of anything, whether it be medical, whether it be, like I said, utilities, anything of that nature, because you now find yourself in a compromising position. That's point number one. Point number two. One of the other things that I think is very, very important and should be very important is the fact that as a country, the Bahamas, one of the things that we tend not to do, and we tend to generalize a lot of things, and we look at other countries, and one of the countries that we look at is Barbados. And one of the things we fail to understand is Barbados is one land mask. And I say that because we sometimes forget that we have, you know, we're archipelago. So to run the core structure, the daily course of running an archipelago as complex to running one particular landmass, there's a lot of comparisons that you cannot, you know, deal with, because I don't have to catch a flight to go down to Inagua or whatever the case may be. I do have to do that as a Bahamian, sorry, in Barbados. I don't have to do that. So I'm just saying that sometimes when we generalize and we say things, we got to, you know, think long and think hard what we're actually saying and see if it actually makes any practical sense in the country in which we live. Just wanted to share that based on some things that were being discussed.
I appreciate you, caller. Thanks. Let's move to the next caller here. Let's read text first. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. While the maltreatment of any animal by humans is wrong, appropriately addressed and the person's dealt with, I feel that our society seemingly don't proportion or give the same energy and attention when there's a loss of human life. If someone was mauled, what would these people say? Every time when someone is mauled, I think the Bahamian people have an outcry. We're terrified of pit bulls. We've been lobbying to get rid of pit bulls for a while. Potcakes don't maul people. I've never heard a story where they could say this particular potcake mauled people. Potcakes a bite. But this particular issue with mauling, that's a particular breed of dogs. And if you ask me if you should ban pit bulls, I say, yeah, man, ban them. But there are breeders out there, so man, you train your pit bull and there's no problem with them, right? Then continue the text says, if someone was mauled, what would these people say? I know many people who were mauled. Nothing came out of most of them. All life is important, but please have outrage in all cases. I think Bahamians have outrage, man. Nobody likes it. Everyone who get bite before is complaining. A lot of Bahamians get bite. All right, let's go to caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live. You live, caller.
Okay, good. Mr. Lewis, I'd like you to do me a favor, please. I'd like for you to send out a word to these coconut boys. I had an experience this morning. Last week, one of them came to my window, to my apartment, my house, rather, and asked for the coconuts I had in my yard. I told him, no, they're for me, because I'm trying to stay out of the dialysis center as I get older. This morning, me and the gardener, the brother of the gardener and I, we go to get the coconuts. All my coconuts gone. I wish the police would give them a stern warning to them and put it up whenever they go to get their license or permit. And let them know if they are reported that they, because what I'm going to do next time, I'm going to take a picture of the car and the number of the license plate. And we could backtrack who was driving or send it out and find out who was driving that particular car. But these boys are now going around stealing your coconuts and don't understand the severity or the goodness of these coconuts for people who grow them. I grow my own coconuts so I could stay out of the I don't have this dialysis problem later on in life. And here he comes, he steals all my coconuts. Now, what if I had caught him in my tree?
You could do a prison officer on him.
Huh?
You could do a prison officer on him.
What's that?
Don't I know? I'm being facetious. Wasn't that funny?
Okay, but these boys gotta understand. Now that coconut has become an industry in this country,
yeah,
they cannot go around stealing people's coconuts at will.
Behemoths are entitled. They say it's God.
But they got to understand they're not that they need to be. And if you check them, none of them have a coconut tree in their yard.
None.
And I'm here trying to stay because I hear all the dreaded talk and conversation about the dialysis process. I don't want to end up there and I got my coconut and growing my tree.
Mm-hmm.
So let's send out a stern warning on the radio and tell these parents to tell their boys, stay out of people's yards.
Yes. Yes. I appreciate you.
Okay, brother. Word of advice is sufficient to the wise.
I agree.
Thank you, sir.
At this time, I'd like to give a shout-out, recognition, a praise to Miss Darneth Cartwright. She's a high commissioner at the Jamaican Commission there. It's Commonwealth Day that a number of schools are celebrating. And I just happened to have access to her number and I say, hey, Miss Cartwright, I know Jamaica's a part of the Commonwealth. I need some assistance with ideas on what to do for Commonwealth Day. Can you send a representative to read or some sort? And she went to Tasty Treats, the patty store, the new patty store with expensive patty, and buy them out and say, carry all these Jamaican patties and give it all to the students. She called me and said, Ms. Cartwright, Darneth Cartwright, say, how many students there is? I say, there's 150 of them. She buy a hot patty for everyone. So I want to recognize the Jamaican consulate there and recognize Miss Darneth Cartwright there. She went above and beyond to make sure that everybody in the school, everybody getting food, the school, be able to get the high-end hot patty there. And I want to say thank you. Let's go to the phone lines again. In Radio AM, you live.
Hello, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, it's very low on this side of Northampton phone. You know, Mr. Nuri, talking about Freeport Grand Bahama, back in 1977, worked with a company and we had what we called the inventory department. And we will go and spend 1 week out every month in Freeport. And we lived at the Islander Hotel across from the International Bazaar. And then there was also a nightclub in the area called the Rack Bar over in the parking lot north, I think, of the bazaar. That was during the time when Freeport was what we called then the Magic City. Bustling, beautiful roads from the airport to the hotel, and then we working right across the road from the International Bazaar. I worked for a company named Solomon Brothers. And we had to go in every store that Solomon Brothers had in Grand Bahama in Freeport. And sitting on the ground, four of us, we would go to one store in the day, the next store the next day. We'd be on the ground counting every T-shirt, every shell, you name it, we had to count it. Years later, because my son had gotten into some bad company here in Nassau, New Providence, I should say, not Nassau, we had to send him, we took him out of the school, where his grades had dropped down to 1 point something, and he mixed up some bad company. So we got him out of New Providence, and we sent him to live in Freeport. And with some friends of ours, Seventh Adventist, and when he graduated years later from Grand Bahama Academy, I went up there to visit, to go to the graduation. And I was so surprised when I saw Freeport. the bush that grew up around the International Bazaar,
yeah.
The amount of stores I passed with plywood to the windows, from the airport to the hotel where they was having the graduation.
Yeah.
And my son saw me in the back of the hall. I mean, he ran down from the stage, hugged me, cried, kissed and everything. He graduated then.
And I appreciate this reminiscing, and every so often we need to reminisce on how great the Magic City is or was, and how that they lost to Leicester. And then we need to do some introspection on what can be done. Should the government be doing more? Should the port be doing more? Should there be a partnership? What is responsibility for the port? Do the owners of the port see that something is wrong, right? Can they see that the airport is dilapidated and needs to be addressed, all right? Or they say, man, that's a government problem, man. And even though we have the money to do it, we just not doing it, right? We need to have that discussion. And I believe the people of the of Grand Bahama need to lead the charge. It not necessarily need to be government. They need to go in mass and sit down to whenever the port authorities have any meeting, general meeting, explain to their licensees and said, something is wrong. You're holding us hostage. And we trying to be good citizens, especially the employees. We can't tolerate this. And I think that's why what is happening in Grand Bahama is happening, because even the employees, the residents there are not doing anything. Let's go to the phone line there. Guiding Radio AM, you're live. You're live there, caller. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man.
Good. You know, I am reporting, and I heard your last caller. And one of the key things that I always find that happens in Grand Bahama, apparently, I don't know why, there are always companies that, a lot of foreign companies that come in, or investors that come in, they would either purchase something, it goes north, and leaves the Bahamian, Grand Bahamians, with outstanding, you know, funds owed, right down from the Bahama Princess, right down from, you know, even with the Alakaya situation to some extent. And one of the things I always try to figure out, it has to be, and it's sad that, you know, you have two entities or two sets of entities that are being in control of Grand Bahama for some time. And they, I can tell you, I've worked along with Mr. St. George, oh my God, and Edward, and Mr. Haywood, and no, they have to be rolling over in their graves if they could even think or thought of what has become of this place that was the Magic City. And the reason why I say that is that it seemed as though from the moment that they exited world, Grand Bahama has been on a major decline. And I can say from personal experience that especially Mr. Edward St. George, let me tell you, that man had a serious passion. I'm just talking about investments and so forth, but a serious passion to see Grand Bahama succeed. And from the moment that they exited this world, it seemed as though the inheritance or the others, it is almost like just a money grab. And I hate to say that, but it like the love for the place has gone. And I feel like it has to be deeper than just what has recently happened. But when you could turn around and ask the government to pay you $1 billion, what kind of love is that you have for Grandmama? What kind of love is that you have for the Bahamian people? I think we totally forget that. Mm. Whether we're FNMs, PLPs, CIO, whatever. Can you imagine asking the Bahamian people now to come up with $1 billion because you think you deserve it? It's amazing. I think that's a point that a lot of us are not paying attention to.
I appreciate that. I have no problem with them asking for $1 billion, though. If they deserve $1 billion, they deserve $1 billion. But the arbitrator said, no, they don't deserve it. That ain't that. But you definitely need to ask if you deserve it. So that didn't bother me. That didn't bother me at all. I'm glad he didn't get it. But asking for it didn't bother me. And we're going to a quick commercial break. I'll read this text before we go. I call it, I see you. Come on the other side. It says, Mr. Nuri, the ruling is in favor of the government with a timeline for the Port Authority to agree to payment amount and terms. Otherwise, the same authority will impose amount and terms of payment on the Port Authority. When your defense was you did not owe, how can this not be a victory for the side that said you owe? I get that. But that's interesting. As the Prime Minister goes and does his tour, and then the Port Authority do their tour to explain to the licensees, and they say we have to go back to the arbitrator to agree on how much money, either it'll be less or more, or whatever it is, we'll find out what it's truly about. Let's take this quick commercial break and come right back. Call ICU.
Show me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl, everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Masters bring your masterpiece to life. We sell quality products that are second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Garden, phone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We'll go straight to the phone line. And this texter says, hi, those dogs don't bother people at all for years. And he shot the dog after he passed him. Yeah, it was very unfortunate. Like I said, I was traumatized. I mean, the angst and anxiety, the rage that went in me when I saw the prison officer shot the dog. And I said, this wasn't called for. And I'm not sure people is appreciating the rage that was injected into the Bohemian society, into the Bohemian psyche. That is problematic, and that needs to be addressed, right? We need to amend that, compensation for that. And then I just realized there's no, what do you call that? Sidewalk on that side of the road. The government needs to address that too. Like, how come there's no sidewalk? But let's go to the callers here. Guardian Radio AM, this is C.A. Nuri, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Kermit, just move to the next one then. Go ahead, caller. You live? That's you, caller. I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. See, I didn't realize that my call had dropped. Right? Somebody told me that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. See, like I was saying, I went to a bank, one of the major banks, foreign banks in this country, and I was given a check.
Yes, you said that. Go ahead.
A check. CA, the meaning of a check is an unconditional order for the financial institution to pay, right? Now, unless there were some terms and conditions under which these individuals and sign on to, that institution is obligated. It's a check is like a demand letter, right? I was told by this institution that in order for me to get my money, the check was not crossed, okay? It was an open check, that I would have to open an account. I said, sir, I don't need to open an account to get my money, because this is an instruction from the owner of this account for you to release to me the said amount.
Yep.
So the manager comes and says, well, okay, that's our policy. Well, I said to her, well, explain your policy to me. Well, that's our policy. I said, you don't have the authority over something that does not belong to you. Those funds, they are a liability to you. You don't own them. You cannot override the authority of the instruction that was given to you. So it's one back and forth. You know, and at the end of the day, they did not cash the check. They did not honor the demand of the customer. Mm-hmm. I told her, listen, the pen is mightier than the sword. See, you know, in Barbados, these banks, every year, they are making millions of dollars off it. Just like Fred said about the GPA,
mm-hmm.
they are making millions of dollars. They are repatriating these monies out of our country. We are not the beneficiary of that. They have the big bonuses at the end of the year. They have the lavish parties all on the backs of the Bahamian people. And I told her in no uncertain words that this year, this wall is coming down.
I'm glad you made a stand.
Me and Mortley decided that hell to the no. You're not going this far. Their central bank step in. What is our central bank doing, CA?
We need a lobby for our central bank. Let Mr. Rowe know our frustration. Fred Mitchell tends to...
start rolling with us, man.
Fred Mitchell tends to make noise about the checks in the system. I'm not sure who he's making noise to.
CA is one who governs.
Mm-hmm.
What is he governing? Who is he governing? These banks are doing what they're overstepping. I call legal aid to find out if they had that. You know, the woman will tell me, oh, that's not a legal matter. That's not a policy. Rosa Parks said, you know, yeah, that may be the status quo, but today is the last day I'm getting up.
Mm-hmm.
So Lyndon, Sir Milo, and all our freedom fighters, they fought for us to have a say, to have a voice, and not allow foreigners to come into our country and do whatever they want to do,
yeah,
and have their feet on our necks and where we can't breathe, and we must say nothing. And I'm calling on the Prime Minister. I know Mr. Pintard said that if he becomes the next Prime Minister, he will deal with these banks. And I hope if he does, that he would stay up to his word. But Mr. Prime Minister, be brave, sir. And even though these people are holding your overdraft, tell them, listen here, you cannot. This is far as you are. And I'm telling the Bahamian people, man, let's stand. Let's show these people that we have power, that we have a voice in our country, and we will not allow you to dominate us. Thank you, CA.
I appreciate you calling, man. Let me read this quick text and go to this last call. I say, Brother Nuri, who was supposed to protect who? Why didn't the K-9 unit protect the prison officers? If the Port case can put fear into our K-9 unit dog, maybe we need to recruit a national dog, the Port cake, into our K-9 unit. Yeah, see, when you analyze it, just don't make no sense. I think the officer just overreacted. So, good morning. I was listening to the station from 7 a.m. this morning, and this talk about this one dog dominates all three of the shows so far. Are we aware that two human lost their lives in Freeport over the weekend? Where is the outcry for everything else? And that's going on in this country. Do we care about pets more than human lives? Secure your dogs. Simple. It's very unfortunate that two people died in Grand Bahama. Those who live in Grand Bahama and who is aware of it, kindly call the show so we can give tribute and give honor and recognize those person who's transitioned. And it's very much unfortunate. But the people want to talk about the dog. That's why we're talking about it. I thought we was going to talk about Grand Bahama, but the people want to talk about the dog, and it's an open-lying show, right? Let's go to this call-up before we go. Guardian Radio A, I'm sorry for having you hold for so long. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? It took too long to come back. Hey, caller. Did I? Let's read this last text. It says, morning, Mr. Nuri. With the vast amount of proper enforcement and lack of systems in place that can assist the average person in their daily lives, we are now in our election season. So these issues that are nemesis to the people, there should be a listing of these inadequacies and put to the candidates to hear their views and hold them accountable. Perhaps we need to have a show where we have four questions and we ask the candidate, which would you be your plan? But we live in a party system. The candidate don't have a plan, right? Their plan is the national plan of their party, right? I see one or two of the candidates have manifestos what they plan to do. And I was wondering how you could plan to do that and with whom money and with which party, you know? Some grandiose ideas, but we follow a party system. Last our headline is Pintad says that FNM government will enforce review provisions of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. We heard that before. So the Free National Movement leader, Michael Pintad, said yesterday that the FNM government would collect any outstanding funds owed to the government, even if it's Grand Bahama Port Authority. We expect that if we are spending more money in Grand Bahama than we are collecting, and if the law makes provision for us to collect the difference, we would be interested on behalf of the Bahamian people to collect the difference, Pintad said when called for comment yesterday. Early this month, an independent arbitration tribunal dismissed the Davis administration claim for $357 million reimbursement from the Grand Bahama Port Authority, but found that the government has a legal right to payment after annual reviews under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. So in the future, we might get some money because we are entitled to get some money annually. So we need to find out how much this money is and will it be done retrospectively and how would this help and develop Freeport? Will that go to a consolidated fund and help Acklands and Nassau, or will it be reinvested into Grand Bahama and say, hey, we're helping your economy. Some things needs to be done, right? I see we borrowing money to prepare land for the African Central Bank, no Central Bank, the African Exim Bank, to do their building. They gave us $1 million to build some warehouse to sell African products, right? They gave us $1 million for that, and now we're spending $1 million to prepare the land. So that gift expensive. It reminds me of when I try borrow $1,000 from CIBC. I say, CIBC, I need $1,000 because I'm short. And the loan officer said, sure, but you need to put down $1,000 first. And I look at her and said, if I had $1,000, I wouldn't be here asking for the $1,000, miss. So that loan didn't go through. Sorry I had to call your name, CIBC, because that's my home bank. I just found it tickling that I asking for $1,000. And the woman asked me back for $1,000 to get her $1,000. And I said, won't I be still short? At least give me $2,000 so I can put back the $1,000 I borrowed. I mean, these things don't make no sense to me, man. Oh, boy. There's going to be a spelling bee thing. I think they have the primary school awards, national primary school awards. I'm kind of excited about that, the top students for that. All kind of things for the Bahamas to be proud about. I can't wait. For the rest of the week, we're supposed to be having guests, a number of guests in studio. It should be interesting. Besides being Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.